I'm Marlena, and I want to welcome you to Marlena, right here on ACB Radio Mainstream, where for about the next 60 minutes or so, we'll be taking your calls at 1-866-666-7926. Come on in, sit down, take your shoes off, give me a call, won't you? Hello, 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 and welcome back to Marlena, right here on ACB Radio Mainstream, where for about the next 2 hours. Someday I'll change that. By golly, we have a phone call. I don't even get to give out the phone number. Hey there, how are you? This is Marlena. Who's this?
This is Lisa.
Lisa.
Hey, Marlena.
You are on the air on ACB Radio. Do you know that?
I know that.
Oh,
first time.
And I don't even have my bell to ring. Doggone it. Lisa, my wonderful friend from Florida. My gosh, how are you?
I'm good. I'm real good. I'm just arriving in Miami for a convention.
Oh, and do you know, tonight we're doing the show on remembering technology, and I'm dedicating this show to our friend Russell.
I realize that. I thank you for your call to let me know that that's your dedication, dedicating the show tonight, and that's why I wanted to call in.
Well, and you're the first caller, and so what can you take a second and kind of, well, let me just take a second, because you are like right at the top of the hour, girl. You are wonderful. What I want callers to know is that what we're going to talk about tonight is remembering technology. The first technology you ever used, whether it was your Braille slate or your Braille writer or a computer, a tape recorder, whatever goes way back in the way back machine for you. But I also am dedicating this program tonight to the memory of my good friend, Russell Smith, with whom I worked at Humanware for 2 years. And as most of you know, Russell was tragically killed. He and his wife were killed in a mid-air small plane disaster. And I just happen to know that Lisa is also a good friend of Russell. And so I called Lisa and left her messages all over the place. and said, you know, call my show, and you know, if you've got any memories that you want to share about Russell, feel free. But I just want all of Russell's friends to kind of call in tonight and just kind of say, you know, hey. And it's kind of eerie a little bit, Lisa, but Russell's funeral began at the same time the show began.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Yeah. But Russell wouldn't want us to be all boo-hooey, would he?
No, I don't think so.
No. No.
No, it's a tragic loss, and the being cited, my first Braille device was a Braille note.
Yay, girl!
When, and, you know, one of Dr. Smith's first, the accessible PDA, and it was our first introduction into blindness products in the state of Florida, and it was a device from Pulse Data that he had worked to develop, and just over the years, he has become a very special friend and a mentor, and it's a huge loss, just a for me personally, and I know around the world, I miss him dearly, but he'll be an inspiration to me.
Well, you know,
my business for a long time.
And, you know, Lisa, I think that there are so many Braille notes and old, and then before the Braille note was the companion, you know, that are in people's hands that, you know, people don't even know who Dr. Russell Smith was. They just know this is what they have, and that's his legacy. You know, he is touching the lives of just thousands and thousands of blind people around the world, and that's what I need to hang on to and remember. And now that I manage an adaptive technology business, my passion is to sell them.
Yes. Well, I my first time calling in, I apologize to interrupt the opening.
No, you can call me anytime, girlfriend. Lisa's one of my dearest friends, you guys. And Lisa, this is a very relaxed show. I mean, when you call your audience you guys, you got to know that this is a pretty darn relaxed show. So, Lisa.
I think I thought I was calling into like a conference call and I was just going to be listening.
See? Well, you're talking worldwide on the internet, girlfriend.
Wow.
So why don't
like
you...
Dell technology. I just don't know how to use it.
So what's the name of your business?
Florida Reading and Vision Technologies.
Florida Reading and Vision Technologies. There you go. So you people listening in and around the state of Florida, you need something, you call my girlfriend, Lisa.
Call, yes. I'm down in Miami. I came to the Blinded Veterans, 60th Annual Blinded Veterans Association National Convention.
Is down
here in Miami Beach the next 3 days.
Well, Lisa's got it going on, let me tell you. She has got it going on. Well, drop me a note and let's...
I will.
Yeah, because I want to talk to you off air and stuff.
Okay.
Okay?
Have a good show.
Okay,
and, thanks for letting me call in.
Oh, my gosh, you call me anytime, girlfriend.
Okay. All
okay.
right. Take care.
Bye-bye. 866-666-7926. That was a great surprise. Lisa is a oh gosh, we got all kinds of phones ringing and they're all the wrong number. Huh. Well, now isn't that just cool? Okay. Hi there. You're with Marlena. I've got all kinds of phones going off. I haven't done this for 6 weeks. I don't know who I am. Who are you?
Well, I'm the second caller. Sue, do I get a prize?
You're the second caller. Frank from Albany. How's Kathy?
Kathy's doing good.
Oh, great. I was so worried nobody would call this week.
Oh, well, we've got an advanced warning that Marlena's back, so we all made sure that dinner was done long before the... 9 o'clock hour of the Northeast.
You all made sure you got to run away, right?
Before we're in trouble now.
Here's Here's Kathy. Hey, Kathy, how are you?
Good. How are you doing, Marlena?
Great.
I wanted to share two pieces of technology stories with you.
Great. Go for it.
Well, the first one was when I was in the first grade. That's when I started using my first Perkins Brailler. And I don't know, around the second day I was being taught Braille, I got this weird idea. What would it be like if I tried to put Braille on my finger? So I stuck my finger underneath that thing that, you know, does the Braille. And
oh, Frank.
Figured I'd try to type the letter A on my finger. Boy,
on your
it hurt.
Finger. Whoa, I bet it did hurt. Holy cow.
But the next most realistic thing is my first computer that we got back in 1993. It was a 486, and it was back in the days when we just used DOS, basically. And I couldn't use it until 1994 when I got ASAP. And
oh, my gosh, ASAP.
And double talk.
Oh, dear.
But I'll tell you, back then, you know, it was the world.
Oh, in the day, yes, back
you know,
in the
was,
day,
yeah. I had CompuServe, and I could check my baseball scores, my news. But then as the 90s progressed, we got around 1997, 98, we went into Windows and... No longer do we have dial-up. We've got, you know, high-speed internet, and it's just amazing in the last 11 years how far we've come.
Well, yeah, and I think for people who are blind or low vision, I mean, gosh, you know, you can read the newspaper now, and you can, you know, I mean, I'm old enough to remember the day when if you wanted something read to you, you waited and a reader came and read it, you know.
Right. And I never knew Russell Smith, but I'll tell you, the legacy he's left behind is something that will serve blind people, you know, for years and years to come. And, you know, even if you didn't know him personally, he still helped a lot of people.
Well, I'm gonna tell my best Russell Smith story. When I first started at HumanWare, was back in 2001, just after 9/11. And so I, Jim Halliday, which is a name that many, many people know from HumanWare, I had said to Jim, you know, there's just one problem with this Braille note. The case needs to be redesigned. This is a quote unquote, and this is exactly what I said, this is a sucky case. And Jim said, Oh, well, you should talk to Russell Smith, because he's in the process of developing a case, and I think he's pretty far on with the design. So why don't, you know, he's going to be in today. So I'm like, okay, fine. So I'm, you know, sitting at Humanware. It's my very first day ever at Humanware. And I'm sitting there and meeting all these people. All of a sudden, Jim comes in to where I was, and he says, Marlena, Russell Smith is here. So I go in to Jim's office, and Jim says, this is Russell Smith. This is Marlena Lieberg. How do you do? How do you do? And Jim says, now, Marlena's got some good ideas for the, or got some ideas for the case. So Russell shows me the case that he was working on, which was a significant improvement. But I said, no, you don't have it right. The thumb keys aren't covered. And I had, you know, a few, let's put a zipper pocket in it. And you need a place for your identification and a place for your business cards. Because blind people, you know, we love cases and we love, you know, things that have pockets for this and pockets for that. So Russell looked at me, and in this very broad New Zealand accent, he said, well, I was going to take it to the manufacturer on Sunday. And I said, well, you know, you can still do that. You just have to redesign it. It's just not right yet. So he sort of snatched the case out of my hand. He said, all right, you'll be responsible for the 6 weeks longer it's going to take. And I said, well, that's okay. I'll be responsible. So then Jim said, Marlena, did I tell you that Russell is the CEO of Humanware? And I looked at Russell. I said, you made a great case. What a lovely case you have. So Russell reached over and slapped my arm, and he said, ah, go on with you. Your ideas are better than mine. And, I mean, that's the kind of guy he was. You know, he was just, you know, if you could make a case, but literally, you know, but if,
yeah.
No pun intended, but, you know, if you could show him why what you were thinking might be a better workaround, he didn't just say, well, I'm the guy in charge and you're going to do it my way. You know, he was just, he was a neat guy.
Right. Could we let Kathy just give some of her thoughts on the technology, and then we'll let them, we'll let caller three come
call,
through.
I wonder who it'll be.
I don't know.
Do I get a prize if I guess?
Yeah.
Zoo amateur, probably.
There you
go. Anyway, go ahead, Gabby.
No, it's amazing. I mean, not only, you know, technology being visually impaired, but, you know, being in the baby boomer age, and you grow up, and we grow up in the age of, I grew up, we had dial telephones.
Oh, yeah.
Dial telephones. You had turntables, 33 RPM records, 45s. Eight tracks, cassettes. I mean, it just
reel to reel.
Yeah.
It's just amazing to think, you know, where we are today as compared to what we were, you know, we're back in the 60s.
But you never stuck your finger in a braille writer, did you?
No, I never did that. No.
Well, Marlena, we wanted to put our two cents in here. That's why we were the second call, you know, too.
There you go.
But thanks for giving everybody the opportunity to call in, and good luck with your endeavors on your job.
Well, thank you, and keep listening, and we'll see what other interesting memories of technology people have.
And welcome back.
Well, thank you. It's great to be back.
Okay.
Bye. Bye-bye. 866-666-7926. Your memories of technology, your memories of Russell Smith, both, either, whichever would be great. And we're going to pick up the phone. Hi there. You're with Marlena. You're caller number three. Who's this?
Steve in Kingston, Marlena. How are you?
Hey, Steve. Great. How are you?
I'm good.
And what's your memory of technology?
Well, I've got a lot of them because, like you, I go back with it a long way. I always used to say before I was first encountered my first what I'll call high-tech device that I think the tape recorder, whether it be reel-to-reel as it was when I was a student or cassette, was probably the most significant product for people who didn't know Braille because it was very easy for people, even with the well, particularly once cassette came along with the original Sony TC-110s and things like that.
Yes.
For them to easily record notes. But, you know, The first really significant high tech, if I can make a distinction between the Braille slate on one hand and Perky and the tape recorders, for me was not the Opticon, although I do think it was really the groundbreaker. I never owned one of those, but I did own one of the Speech Plus talking calculators.
Oh, weren't they great?
And I still have it, and it still works.
Wow.
The batteries are dead, but you can plug it in, and it'll work on AC power. And they were significant. They were by today's standards, they were mighty expensive, and the speech was mighty primitive. But it opened up employment possibilities. It opened up things at work. I was managing a radio station at the time, and up until that time, I had done any financial stuff just by either usually with a Brailler, actually. And then when that calculator came along, I mean, it was just solid gold. And then, of course, everything just went along from there. And one of the things that happened, and I don't certainly want to lessen the significance that Dr. Smith played in the development of technology, because he certainly did, as did a number of other pioneers. And I think that, you were at CSUN, I think you were at CSUN when this happened. The very quiet demise of telesensory systems.
Yes,
and
yes.
In the last few years, of course, telesensory systems had gotten out of the Braille division business. They become a CCTV company first and foremost. But they really were, for my money, the pioneer, because they did that calculator for North America. There were European products that in fact were influenced some of their work. I guess their next significant product really was the VersaBraille, the classic VersaBraille, which really showed, and I'm sure it introduced many people of that era to the whole idea of interfacing computers. When I think back to what I learned about the RS-232C interface, whether I wanted to or not, but it just opened up those possibilities, because now we could do the things that our seeing colleagues were doing by printing, producing well-formatted documents. Sounds funny now, doesn't it? But well-formatted documents and send them to a print printer, or a Brailler, because, of course, it was around the same time that you first saw, they were expensive. I guess they still are, but Brailers that could be at home, like the modified Cranmer.
Brailler. They were extremely expensive.
And things of that sort. Then, of course, the North American products, when they came along and we began to see the products from other countries, and like the Pulse Data products, the Robotron products of the early, late 80s, and now we're, 20-some-odd years down the road, and I think it's really important for people to realize that this stuff didn't just come out of the box, as it were, full-grown, that there was a whole pioneering group of people that has been largely, I won't say overlooked now, but they've gone along and gone and done other things.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Steve. And I remember back to my very first speech synthesizer computer with synthesized speech, and I actually had two of them simultaneously. One at work, which was a Maryland Computer Services,
indeed.
Yes, with Ted Henter.
Yeah.
When Ted Henter was Ted Henter, and Ted would personally talk with me and help me get it up and running. And I thought that was the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Exactly.
And for people who don't know, this was it was a terminal, literally. And it had the speech built in to the terminal. And, oh, my gosh, when I got that, and I could keep up with my colleagues in Arlington County government, I just thought that was magic.
Yeah.
And
was yours the spelling one, or did you not get one until they came out with the one that could speak whole words?
No, mine was the spelling one.
folks who came to this more recently, if you can imagine having to spell everything that you read, it's quite an experience.
H H-E-L-L-O space.
M-A-R-L-A-I-N-A, yeah.
And then at home, I also had I had a Commodore 64, which was made accessible by this kludgy, and I mean that in a complimentary way, setup that was developed by a guy named Eric Bowman in Illinois. And this thing, I still hear it today.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But I could play Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Exactly.
You know, along with everybody else. And that was when Willie Wilson had his, what was that list? Blink Link. Oh, my gosh. To be able to receive email from blind people around the world, that was phenomenal.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
and, of course, we haven't mentioned the Apple, the work that David Halliday and Karen Navy, who are now both with Duxbury, did, and with Bex and Braille Edit and the Echo stuff and all the old Apples.
Yep.
I'm pleased to see, in fact, that they had a whole run of newsletters, and I discovered recently that David digitized them, and they're actually available on the Internet. And it's a really good for anyone interested in doing. I mean, we've now had an industry long enough that people could start to do historical explorations of it, I think, and I think it's really important that we don't let that technology, we don't lose sight of it. It's got to be documented. There should be a museum somewhere. I don't know that there is.
I really hope that there would be someday.
Yeah.
You know, and people like Russell Smith, who are the icons, you know.
Yeah.
In one of the newspaper articles about Russell, it said that Russell was the Bill Gates of the blind. And, you know, I don't think that's entirely crazy. You know, I mean, these guys are just the research and the passion. I mean, most of these guys are sighted, and what the heck do they care?
Exactly.
But they get a passion, and Russell had a passion for doing this stuff. And I mean, I can remember him saying to me one day, "Well, Marlena, do you think the Braille Note ought to have an MP3 player?" And I said, "Russell, not only yes, but hell yes." You know?
Yeah. Well, it looks like they've done it well with the new one.
Oh, yes. And that leads me to remind folks, we were going to do the M-Power drawing this evening, but out of respect for Russell and the Smith family, we're going to do it actually on the 28th, because, you know, ACB Radio has had this contest during the month of July, which is now closed.
I only got one right.
Oh, no. Well, we will be doing the draw on the 28th, so make sure you listen.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Well, it's great to talk to you.
Well, thank you so much for calling.
And my best to Gary.
Oh, thank you so much. I'll tell him. He's visiting with his daughter and son-in-law in the other room, so this is one of the first shows he's not actually listening to.
Exactly. Well, good for him.
We could talk about him.
Yeah. Well, you take care. It's good to have you back.
Thanks, Steve.
Bye-bye.
Have a good night. Bye-bye. 866-666-7926. So just beware, be warned, be known, be informed, be something. I don't know. I haven't been doing this for 6 weeks. I don't know what I'm talking about. But anyway, we're going to do the drawing for the voice note M-Power on the 28th of August. Hi there. This is Marlena. Who's this?
This is Kelly Supersia from Saskatchewan, Canada.
Ah, this must be Canada night. How are you, Mr. Supersia?
I'm doing all right. Just entertaining some friends.
Oh.
And I thought I'd call in. Just had one of their boys playing a few games on my PlayStation.
Ah, so you've got a PlayStation, huh?
Yep. Not too many games for it, I will admit, but I've got a few that I can play, especially some of the hockey ones and all that.
Wow, that's cool. So are they accessible just out of the box, or do you have to do something to them? Or
they're not too bad. I mean, you have to get sighted assistance for the menus, but after that, it's just a case of button pushing. you know, just keep pressing the buttons and see what happens.
Well, that's
actually, one time I was playing a game on a friend's Xbox. He has this one, Soul Calibur 2. It's kind of a fighting game.
Yeah.
And I beat this. Like, I have never played this game before, but I had another player who was sighted playing along with me, and I just beat him up.
Yay! Yay!
And there
was the blind guy beat the sighted guy.
Yeah. Did that a few times for him, actually. Then he figured out what I was doing, and he got me.
Oh, that's pretty funny.
Oh, yeah. And ever since then, though, he's been saying, I don't know how he did it. You know, how could he beat me, this guy?
So now you are kind of like gamer extraordinaire, right?
Yep.
So, what's your favorite game?
That is a tricky one. If it was an accessible game,
yeah,
it would be a tie either between GMA Tank Commander or ESP Pinball Extreme from Adora Entertainment.
Oh my gosh, I think I'd like the Pinball Extreme.
Oh yeah, well, both pinball games. I urge anybody that is interested in pinball to buy those. Those are fantastic.
So
they do they got great sound effects, and I even hear that Adora Entertainment is going to be coming out sometime. I don't know when, but they're going to be coming out with an editor for ESP Pinball Extreme there, and so you'll be able to create your own tables.
Wow.
Now hey, that I can't wait for.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So now, Adora, is that, I mean, I'm not a gamer, so I'm like, duh. But is Adora a mainstream company?
They're one of the companies that create accessible games.
Oh, okay.
They can be found on the web at Adora Entertainment. That's all one word, .com.
A-D-O-R-A?
And, right.
Huh.
And then ENTERTAINMENT.com.
Yeah.
And they market all the games from, just about all the games from, or that ESP software sold for the last few years. Alien Outback, which is another great space invasion sort of game. The pinball ones. And Monkey Business. And then there's a couple of other ones there as well.
I like, you know what, the kind of games I like are the ones that you get to be like a detective and you try to solve, you know, the murders and stuff.
Oh, yeah, the mystery ones.
Yeah, I like those because that's the kind of books I read. Cheap escapist trash.
Well, I must admit, one of my favorite text adventure games, you were talking about The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy there. I love that whole series, like the book. The radio drama and the game, the text adventure.
Yeah, when I used to use that old Commodore 64, whom I named, by the way, Brainerd. I named him Brainerd T. Compute III, and nicknamed him Brainy for short. And Brainy, every time, of course, he read every bit of punctuation. You couldn't make him not, and so he would say, I'm coming into the room, period. I'm sitting down, period. And a friend of mine used to think that the period, what he was saying, be seated, period. And then the thing I'll never forget, though, is there's one line in The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy where he puts on the robe and you reach into your pocket and find a bit of pocket fluff your auntie put in your pocket. And I don't know why, but for some reason that just stuck with me, that pocket fluff that your auntie put in the pocket.
Yeah.
Yep.
Another great text adventure that I liked was Moon Mist.
Well, I never played that.
That was actually the first game I played by Infocom back in, I think it was 1993. I got a whole bunch of these text adventure games from a friend, and that was one of them. And I had fun with that in the Zork series.
Oh, I had Zork. Yeah, I had Zork.
I gotta play one of those sometime.
And you know, I used to have talk about old technology. I used to have, I probably still have it around here somewhere, a raised line drawing kit.
Oh, yeah.
From APH. And so I used to start drawing all the maps and stuff on Zork so I could figure out whether to tell them to go left or right or north or south. Dear.
I was really interested in was, how do you get out of that bleeping maze? You are now in a maze of twisty little passages.
Yes.
All alike.
Yes. Or if you had my computer, it would tell you like that.
Speaking of the first computer, speaking of the first computer that I had, mine was, I got my first one in 1986 or 87, one of those years. It was the old Smalltalk Plus.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
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 And I still have the thing, too.
Wow.
And the thing that I remember about that computer was it, you know, it was, of course, the way it would speak and all that, you know. But the second day I tried it, I don't know what happened, but we had to reset the machine, I guess, for whatever reason. And I don't know if it was my imagination or what, but the clock, when you press the button to announce the time, I can distinctly remember, I thought I heard it say something like, it's 8:99 p.m. <You know? laughs> And I'm thinking, what? You know?
It probably did back then.
You never know. But anyway, we got it set up there. And then that thing actually kind of terrified me, I will admit, because I remember we were going through the various menus. And, of course, you know, I think I had been watching too many science fiction shows back then or something where the computer goes nuts, you know, if there's a problem or something.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
But we got into the edit menu in WordTalk, you know, the word processor
right.
program. And it was pretty bad because they have this option for find. Well, now I know what and you go into it and it says something like target. Well, now I know what they were meaning was, okay, what are you looking
what
for?
Yeah.
But at the time, I thought, they're going to be shooting laser beams and missiles at me and this sort of stuff.
Well, some of those early computers were pretty esoteric, that's for sure.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for calling.
You're welcome. And I just would also like to express my condolences to the friends and family of Dr. Russell Smith, and that was quite a shock for me, I must admit. I found out about it when I read Jonathan's Mosin Explosion blog.
Yes.
And I'm very sorry to hear about that.
Well, and I've got actually something coming up in a bit that some remembrances from Jonathan, so mm-hmm. stay tuned.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Have a wonderful evening.
Yeah, you too.
Go back to your PlayStation, but don't turn me off.
Don't worry. Actually, he's finished playing now, I think.
Okay. All right. Take care,
okay.
Kelly.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
866-666-7926. Remembering technology, we are. I'm Marlena. I'll be with you for the next couple of hours, well, hour and a half or so. And we're dedicating this show tonight to not only remembering our own technology, but to remembering Dr. Russell Smith, who a week ago today was tragically killed in a mid-air small plane accident. Hi there, who's this?
Well, good evening, Marlena. This is John Glass in California.
John Glass, how are you?
Well, I'm doing just fine, thank you. It was great to see you at the ACB convention and enjoyed having dinner with you at the amateur radio function.
Oh, yes, wasn't that fun?
That was a lot of fun. I hope we have a chance to do it again next year.
Well, you know, maybe next year we could actually get a special place set off for us so we could all be sitting at one table.
That would be a wonderful thing. You know, the reason I'm calling is, first of all, to express my condolences to Dr. Smith's family and to all of his colleagues and friends. And, you know, you were talking about technology, and it made me think about the one piece of technology that we definitely don't want to overlook tonight is the Braille and Speak.
Oh, my gosh, yes, absolutely.
And the reason that I bring that up is because, you know, the Braille and Speak was really the first affordable portable device that not only people could use as a note taker, but it also had all of the other wonderful functions built in, you know, the talking calculator, the stopwatch, the fact that it could be used as a terminal, as a talking terminal. And the other thing is that, you know, back in the days when the Braille and Speak came out at the end of 1987, we all had to have a hardware speech synthesizer, and it
yes.
was a neat little portable synthesizer that you could use.
Yes, absolutely.
And I think that it's really great that it was developed because of the fact that, you know, it allowed people to have an affordable portable device that inspired all of the other companies, including Humanware, to, you know, develop the wonderful products that we have today.
Well, and you know, I was just my desk is a mess because I've just gotten back literally, and so nothing is where it should be. But I was just reaching for I keep my Braille and Speak on my desk, and it's been moved to be out of my reach of the microphone and the headphones and stuff, so I can't reach it. But I was going to just very appropriately turn it on and have it say Braille and Speak ready. but you're absolutely right, and you know, while in this day, of course, it's got major limitations, but in its day, what a fabulous device it was.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I can remember taking a college class back in 96. And I decided I was going to go back to school and take some more psychology courses and a couple of music classes and stuff. So, you know, you get old and you get these crazy senile ideas that you think you can do these things. And so so I had my Braille and Speak in class with me, and I had a little printer. And I took my final exam in class with everybody else. You know, I had the teacher put it on a disc and give me a text file, and I have my little headphone, and I took my final exam and sent it to the printer. Man, I walked out of that class feeling like $1 million because I'd never been able to do that independently when I was in college.
Sure. Well, I didn't either. And, you know, it just makes me think how lucky we would have been or how different things would have been if we would have had, you know, the products that that are available today. Can you imagine going through a college class right now with an M-Power?
Oh gosh, I would be, it would be like aces.
It really would. Well, Marlena, I'll let you move on to the next call because I know that you've got a lot of listeners tonight, but it's great talking with you as always, and I just wanted to share my thoughts on that.
Well, thank you so much for calling, John, and I hope you'll call again and again.
I sure will. You take care.
All right. Take care and keep listening.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye. 866-666-7926. And we're going to grab this call. Hi there. You're with Marlena. Who's this?
Hello, Marlena. This is Matthew Dyer calling.
Hello, Matthew. How was your summer?
It's been going pretty good, actually.
Good. Whoops, are you turning me down?
Yes, I was turning you down.
Ah, okay, there you go.
For, you won't have to hear my own voice in the background.
I know, that gets confusing, doesn't it?
Yes.
So what's on your mind tonight?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, I do want to throw my some things out there, especially to Jonathan Mosen and everybody at Humanware, because I did get the email from Jonathan Mosen on his list about the passing of Russell Smith, and it's a very touching thing. I mean, I don't know him personally, but I know the pain that the family must be feeling, because I lost a grandmother about 4 or 5 years ago, and I mean, it's very painful, and but that's the first thing I wanted to let everyone over there at Humanware know that I feel that I understand how they feel, and I'm sorry to hear about Russell Smith and everybody, but I'm glad to see that they're willing to carry on without him at some point and know that life goes on.
Well, and I'm sure that they appreciate that. And as this show is happening, Russell's funeral is happening. And
they closed down, I think, at early to get ready for it. But the next thing I wanted to bring up was somebody mentioned about the brown speak. But,
yes.
I got to tell you, the very first time I got my hands on one of those units was back in 95, I think it was. And 94 or 95, I think it was. And I was at the blind school for the blind in Columbus at the time. And the first time I touched it was when they first released it, like, you know, 5, 6 or some years ago. They had those rigid sides on those keys. The keys had some ridges around them.
Oh, right. I remember that one, yes.
And I actually started out with that in class, and I wasn't using it full-time, but was using it more or less just because I was learning how to use it. And they didn't even have the .7 and .8 at the time. It just had the 6 keys
yep.
and the space bar. That
yep.
was it.
I remember that.
And but I was going to say, I went from that in elementary school, and then when I moved into the junior high and high school department, I got then upgraded to the 640, and then they started using the I don't think they started using the 7.7 and 8 yet, but they did start using the smoother keys, and I got real used to those. I thought those were a little better than what the other keys were like, but I used that and then upgraded to the 2000. Then I even got one of the first, I don't have it anymore, but I even got at one point got one of the first Millenniums when they came out through some grants, and had been using that. And now I'm up to the, believe it or not, the Braille Note.
Oh, wow. So you've been the full cycle.
I've been following the high tech of things for quite some time. And I got to tell you, I don't do anything without my Braille Note anymore. I mean, it's an address list. It's my address list. It's my phone book. It's my calendar, it's everything.
Yeah. Well, and what a better tribute to Russell Smith. I mean, we couldn't ask for a better tribute than someone saying that without, you know, I mean, with no prompting or anything, that my Braille Note is everything. And I think that Russell would really like to hear that. And I think, you know, I'm one of these people that I believe when people die, they don't really go away. They're just in a different place.
Too.
Yeah, they're just, and you know, Russell's everywhere right now. I think Russell's listening to the show. I think Russell is watching the people who are at his funeral and saying, "Hey, come on, come on, come on. It's over with now. Come on, you know, this is the path." And so, you know, come on. And so I know Russell heard you say that, and I know Russell well enough to know that he would say, "Ah, go on with you. That's nice."
Yeah, I you know, my grandma's the same way. I you know, and it's funny because my grandma, when she passed away, it was during the school year, and my mom were saying, "Look, you know, we were going to have you stay here this week and go to the funeral, but you know, that's up to you." And I said, "Well, personally, I don't want to do anything up here without knowing that, you know, without falling behind with my schoolwork. I mean, I know that my grandma, you know, I think that if my grandma really were still alive, she'd want me to go back to school,
yep.
even if she, you know, I think she was telling me, even though she wasn't there physically, she was telling me, look, I you know, put this behind you and just carry
yep.
on," and I did.
Carry
you know,
on, that's right, carry
my dad
on.
Even said, you know, "You're taking this really well." I mean, everybody else was pretty upset about it, and he said, "You know, you're really taking this really well." And I said, "Well, you know, it's you got to realize that people don't live forever, and it's, you know, people don't live forever. They die. They just die when it's time, and they die from an accident or whatever. And, you know, my grandma only left because God called her home. That was it.
Yep.
I mean, she said she wasn't feeling well that morning, but I think that was simply God saying, you've done your time, it's time to come home, and that was it, you know.
Yep.
I mean,
and so now it's time for us to heal and celebrate their lives.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, all right, Mr. Matthew, thank you so much for calling. I'm delighted that you remembered that tonight was my first live show.
And welcome back, too, by the way.
Well, thank you.
I know. I've been waiting for this night for you to come back, and I'll be looking forward to the 28th when the drawing actually takes place.
Yep, on the 28th, the M-Power draw will take place. We'll have Jonathan here. It'll be a party.
I was telling my friend, I said, it's going to be a good one. I think it's going to be a pretty close drawing, if I do say so myself.
Yep.
If there's anybody out there that's listening now, if they were paying attention to the main menu review that Jonathan Mosen did, you're almost pretty sure to get the answers right.
Well, good on you, Matthew. Let's see what happens on the 28th.
All right.
I'll
let everybody else call in now and let them give their opinion.
All right. Well, you take care, my friend.
You too, Marlena. Bye.
Bye-bye. 866-666-7926. And we will be doing that M-Power draw on the 28th. As Matthew and I just said, we'll have Jonathan Mosen will be with us, and we'll draw the winner, and we'll have a party, and we'll pop the bubbly. Oh, just calm down, Marlena, and take this call. Hi there. Who's this?
Hi there, Marlena. It's Rachel. How are you?
Hey, Rachel Bader, the contest lady.
I have to admit, I haven't been listening because I'm actually doing another radio show at the time, so I think you just mentioned now what I was going to say.
Well,
right?
There you go. See? You're behind the times,
I'm
girlfriend.
I'm behind the times, but what can I say?
So you didn't hear Lisa call.
I did hear Lisa call. I'm sitting here doing major multitasking here with a pair of headphones on, monitoring our stream, and I've got another computer monitoring your stream. I did actually hear her call, and I work with Lisa, and I also had the opportunity to meet Russell on a number of occasions through my work with Lisa, and so I know that's one of the things that you're talking about quite a bit tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
Very, very tragic loss, so...
Yeah, it's a tough one, you know. It's from the head level of my life, I say, well, you know, but he died doing what he loved. He loved to fly. Russell was a private pilot, and he owned his own plane, and he even had an airstrip and a hangar put onto his property, and that's where he and Marianne, his wife, were flying back to. They're flying back from a conference in one part of New Zealand to their home. And so, you know, what better way to die with the person you love?
Absolutely.
Doing what you love.
Absolutely.
But then, you know, the heart side just kicks in. It's like, you know, I sat across the breakfast table from him 3 weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
and we talked about how my company could collaborate and would collaborate with HumanWare on the development of something. And, you know, wow. You know, and I mean, when we said goodbye, you know, we just kind of gave each other a cursory hug, you know, like you do, and you just walked out. And how would you ever know that would be the last hug? You know, you never know.
You never know, exactly.
You never do.
Especially, you know, now working in the industry as I do, you know, I've been a Braille note user, you know, for a while, as you well know. I think you had a little hand in that, didn't you?
I think I might have.
Just slightly. But, you know, I just really have enjoyed, you know, working in the industry, and I can appreciate, probably not near enough, but I can certainly appreciate, you know, what Russell put into, you know, all the work he put into it. And there, of course, he's got a lot of people behind him, but he certainly, put a lot of work into what he did, and he really loved what he did. And the interesting thing when I met Russell, we had an opportunity to to spend some time away from the conferences and the business stuff, and sat down with a few drinks among a few of us and had really great conversations. And one of the things that struck me when I initially met Russell was that if I had not been told initially that he had anything to do with, Paul State at the time, much less the CEO, I never would have known. That was not something that he made everybody aware of.
No, that's right.
Immediately. He was a person first, and, oh, by the way, he happened to be the
that's
CEO
right.
of Pulse Data, which I really, really appreciated and admired, because there are a lot of people that could have let that position kind of guide what they did rather than being a person first, and he was a person first.
I've got a piece coming up later on the program where Jonathan recorded some remembrances of Russell, and in that piece he kind of says that as well, and so I know you're doing many, many things, but if you get a chance, you know, keep one ear here, and we'll just cut off one of your ears and we'll put it over here.
I've said so many times that I need to be two people, you know. I think now I need to be about three, because I ended up talking to Lisa after you did.
And she did great. She really did. She did. It was great to hear from her, and I hope she keeps listening.
And, you know, I'm certainly going to, if I can get the archive for her. I know she's traveling right now, so I'm not sure she has a wireless connection, but... if I can get the archive for her, maybe from you later, I'd love to give that to her.
Yeah.
And let her hear that, because I know that she and Russell were incredibly close friends. And
yeah.
So
yeah.
I know that this whole week has been difficult for everybody that knew Russell.
Well, and, you know, hopefully they're working on some sort of memorial in the States. And so as soon as I find out anything about that, you know, I'll be letting folks know about that too, but I'm sure Lisa would find out as well.
Yeah, and I tell you, I think actually, I mean, we put off our drawing for this evening, but I think you know, we can all do this drawing on the
28th here, 29th there, 30th in someplace else, you know.
I wrote the message, I should know, but.
It'll be November 22nd in some part of the world, you know.
But
this
I think
time zone stuff is enough to make you nuts.
I think we can do this drawing, you know, in with good memories of Russell and all that he put toward the project, and somebody is going to be a very, very fortunate person to receive this. So
well, and I just, you know, I just felt strongly that I know Russell would have really wanted to have someone from the company involved.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And who better, you know, than Jonathan, the product manager, former ACB radio person,
absolutely,
known by many people. And that reminds me, I'm going to, on your dime here, let me just say that I know I just came back, guys. I know. But next week's show is going to be a repeat, because I'm going to be driving back from Idaho. And so it's going to make it a whole lot better not to have to break the speed limit to get back to do the show. So
Are you driving?
Don't tell anybody. Doggone it, Rachel, you blew my cover.
Just thought I'd ask.
No, the dog is.
Well, we know Madeline will get there.
That's right. Madeline can see better than I can. So
yeah.
She's driving. She can see better than I can. She can walk better than Gary can. So she's going to drive. But so next week's show is actually going to be a repeat. But don't despair, guys. I will be back on the 28th with the big M-Power voice note M-Power drawing.
It's been so much fun to be involved with this.
Yeah, you know? I bet. So
absolutely.
It'll be fun.
It'll be fun to give it away, too.
I can't wait. I love giving things away.
That's what makes my job. That's the best part of my promotions coordinator job.
Yeah.
Give stuff away.
Just
I love it.
Give it away. Just
I love it.
That's right. Give it away.
Well, I will let you go and let some other callers get in here, but I will catch what I can now and definitely catch you on the replay for what I missed. Okay.
What?
Okay. I thought I lost my stream for a minute.
Oh, that's not good. Dear. Oh, no, don't do that. That can give you heart failure.
I might be off the air. Let's see. Okay, anyway, well, I'll let you go.
All right. Go fix it.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. 866-666-7926. Let me tell you, folks, there is nothing worse than a broadcaster on the Internet thinking that you've lost your stream. Yikes, it can be scary. Hi there, this is Marlena. Who's this?
Well, good evening, Marlena Hap, Holly in Chicago.
Hi there, Hap. How are you?
Fine. Haven't spoken to you in quite some time.
It's wonderful to hear your voice.
Good to talk to you. I never knew Dr. Russell Smith. In fact, I'm sad to say that the name is not familiar to me at all. But then I have not been real involved in the whole evolution of your the Braille note and that sort of thing. Where my technology goes back to is back in the middle 80s, 85, 86, somewhere around there, I had a PC. I don't even know where it even came from. It was DOS, of course, in those days. And I went through probably the most frustrating 6 weeks of my life trying to learn or at least master or get a handle somehow both on DOS and on using an old Votrax synthesizer.
Oh, my gosh.
It was just dreadful.
Oh, dear me.
And it was just trying to learn too much all at the same time and all together. When I was completely a neophyte when it came to computing. So my dear mother realized out in California, she was there and I was here in Chicago, that I was in need of having some way to write some scripts, some scripting. I don't mean JAWS, I mean actually writing scripts for a program.
Yes.
I was producing ham radio programming in those days, but it was then to the point to where I needed to be able to write scripts for the program. So she was fortunately in the position to purchase me a VersaBraille 2 Plus.
Ah.
And I'm telling you, Marlena, in 3 days with the Braille manual and the VersaBraille, I was up and running. Now, that was, of course, a menu-driven system. But even though it only had 18-character display, it was like a window had been opened for me, just as a window was opened for me back in the fall of 1999 when I took a class in downtown Chicago, funded by the state of Illinois, in basic Windows and computing for the blind and visually impaired. Unlike so many of my peers, however, since I never got a handle on DOS, there was no path of resistance.
Yeah.
To learning Windows.
Sure, that was just what you learned.
It was. Well, the VersaBraille was such a great asset for me. It allowed me, for one thing, to get involved with, you remember FidoNet?
Yes, of course I do.
That was the telephone BBS.
Yes.
Bulletin boards of that day.
Absolutely. I think wasn't BlinkLink on FidoNet.
It might have been, but I never did get involved with BlinkLink, but I did use FidoNet for, obviously, for some information gathering for a ham radio program that I produced, which, of course, today is known as the Rain Report.
Yes, I was going to say, now don't be so meek. Tell us what it is.
Available at rainreport.com.
Of course.
But, gosh, the problem became, of course, that as the years went by, the VersaBraille, of course, developed some problems as all your Braille displays did at one point or another. And TSI was no longer around. And I used that VersaBraille even I still used it to a degree as recently as 2 years ago.
Wow.
The problem was that I have some discs with some text files on them, and I would love to be able to print out and then scan back into having it digital form. But the old Versa Braille just doesn't have it anymore.
Wow. And, so what I never used, I mean, I certainly saw the Versa Braille, and I know all of what it could do, but I never owned one or actually sat down and really used one. What platform did it create its files in, do you know?
It was actually, as I recall, used the C language.
Okay.
To create the files and then the whole process. And it was, of course, a standalone unit.
Sure.
Proprietary, which was, well, one of its downfalls in the long term because of its lack of flexibility and lack of being able to be adapted or modified. It had one output for a printer, one output that serial output, and the serial output I alternated between, if I remember this correctly, a modem, and in ham radio back in the late 80s was something called packet radio.
Oh, sure, yep.
With what they call a terminal node controller, which, of course, is sends packets of data over the air in this case. And so that was very helpful because there were some packet radio bulletin boards that were able to be accessed on local 2-meter band and so forth. Well, if I may put out a query, if anyone has a working Versa Braille, even if the even if your battery pack is shot, and I had all the batteries replaced maybe about 6-7 years ago, and if the display functions properly, and even if there's a problem with the internal drive, I still have a good working external drive for the Versa Braille 2 Plus. Please drop me a note to HAP, that's H-A-P, HAP at Rain Report, all one word, rainreport.com, because I'd love to be able to take some of these discs of some journal material I kept of kind of like a diary back in the 80s, which are trapped on these 3.5-inch floppies. I can't retrieve them.
And you can't retrieve them.
There's really no way to, and I know of anyone I've ever talked to in recent years, of extracting these files from those discs.
Well, and maybe even if people have a Versa Braille and they don't want to part with it, if you made copies of the discs and sent them the discs, you know, maybe they could release the data for you.
I don't even know how would I make copies of the discs.
Well, now that's a good point. That's a good point.
So, yeah.
Well, get a hold of HAP at rainreport.com. And,
Marlena, see, nice to have you back on your show, and I wish you well, and thanks for being there.
Well, thank you for calling, Mr. HAP.
Have a nice evening.
All right, 73 is my friend.
73.
Bye-bye. 866-666-7926, HAP at Rain, R-A-I-N, report.com. Would like to talk to somebody who's got a working or semi-working or even moderately working Versa Braille. Hi there, this is Marlena. Who's this?
Hi, this is Sam in Chicago.
Hi there, Sam. How are you?
Good. So but from one Chicago into another.
I guess so. I'm going to have to start thinking about Chicago songs here.
I actually know Hap. I've met him personally.
Isn't he a neat guy?
Yeah, he's pretty cool.
Yeah. What's going on with you in Chicago?
Well, it's about 70 degrees. It's really beautiful. I went down to the lake today, and it's been nice and breezy.
Ah, that's neat.
And great weather. But it's interesting that Hap was talking about the Versa Braille and about his struggles with DOS and stuff because I was a kid of the Apple IIe and the Keynote Gold.
Wow, good for you.
So my introduction to DOS was actually through Keysoft. My brother got his first Keynote when he was a freshman in high school, and then my high school decided to buy one for me as well. And so we were using it was Keysoft, 1.32 back then.
Yes.
And they bought me one of those Keynote Gold computers.
Uh-huh.
And it had a program on it called Master Touch.
Oh, yes, yes.
Which was the DOS screen reader. And I tell you, I have yet to find a better DOS screen reader than Master Touch. It's funny because after I learned how to use Master Touch, and then when I was able to gain access to other DOS screen readers like JAWS and Vocalize and ASAP, I kept saying, how come they don't read every screen the way Master Touch does? And I guess Master Touch had a very unique way of reading the screen directly from the video card, so it didn't matter how the DOS program was written, it was still able to read the screen. And that was a pretty special function that it had that I don't think a lot of people really knew about.
Yeah, Master Touch, and again, I never used Master Touch on a day-in, day-out basis, but, I'd certainly played around with it, and you're right, it was a good program.
Yeah. So then, after I graduated from high school, the schools reclaimed the computers because they weren't our property. So I was without my Keysoft suite for quite a while, until 2000 when I went to the ACB convention in Louisville.
Louisville,
and Humanware was there showing off their new Braille notes, and I had heard about the Braille notes on the email list. It was a note taker running under Windows, and I'd ask myself, well, what's the big deal? So it runs Windows, and then when I saw it, I saw that it could read Word files, and then it could do email, and it had a Braille display on it. And up until that point, I had been using a Type and Speak, and everything in my mind just clicked. And I realized, this is going to provide me a level of access in college that I've never been able to have before. And it really did. I mean, back at that time, that was the only device that I could use where, a professor or somebody in student government could email me a document 5 minutes before the class or the meeting, and I could active sync it over to my Braille notes, sit there, in the meeting or in the class, and read it with everybody
else. Yeah, yeah.
It was wonderful. And getting my Braille note, it was like having an old friend back with Keysoft and the main menu and keyword and key plus and all of that came back. So it was definitely an advantage to know how to use Keysoft before. It made learning the Braille note a lot easier. And another thing I wanted to mention, I never met Russell either. I don't think he ever came to an ACB convention the years that I was there. And I do believe, though, I may have his voice on a tape somewhere of him demonstrating the Braille note. And so I'm going to have to dig that out.
Oh, if you dig that out and could send that to me, I would be very grateful.
Yeah, I'll also look for that because I was definitely ordering all of the promotional material before the unit came out to do all my research on the Braille note. And, it's funny how now we look back and we see all these great things about people after they're dead, and I'm certainly guilty of that too. I mean, I didn't really realize what a great man Russell Smith was at the time. I just used his products, and I knew how easy they were to use, and how he harnessed the power of mainstream technology, like the Toshiba laptops and Windows CE, and wrote a very friendly user interface over them. And I never really gave a second thought to what was all behind that. And now I'm hearing all of these great praises about him. And, it's really too bad that a lot of people like me don't realize that kind of stuff until it's too late.
Well, it's interesting because I was communicating with Jim Halliday from Humanware, who is also a very dear friend of mine. And I said that to him, and I said, Jim, yes, Russell was an icon and will be an icon in the industry. But what's more important and what's more significant is his legacy, is that there are thousands of users of his technology who don't even know his name. All they know is what they have in front of them works. It's easy to use. and it gives them greater access. And so he wrote back to me and said that he was going to speak at Russell's funeral today and incorporate some of those thoughts into what he was going to say. And I mean, it's true. I mean, so the end user, you know, who's far removed from the industry, you don't know the name of Russell Smith. You just know your Braille note works.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And, you know, I see things about the Sonic, him inventing the Sonic Guide, which I never used before, but, you know, I remember as a kid hearing about it, and I may have even gotten to see one in mobility class. But it's, you know, these things pop up, and rarely are you ever really able to boil it down to one person and say, oh, wow, it's because of that guy that I'm able to do what I can do today. You know, most people just don't make that connection. I know I certainly didn't.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to take time out to remember him and remember all our technologies and just kind of look back and look at the evolution that we've undergone as blind people. It's phenomenal.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I'm loving my wireless internet now.
Yeah.
Going to a hotspot or going to my parents' house or going wherever and just being able to hop on with KeyWeb and having a nice, easy interface to get on the internet and play my MP3s and do whatever I need to do.
Yep, you go get it.
Yeah, it's awesome.
All right. Well, you take care, and thanks for calling.
All right, thanks for putting me on the air.
And thanks for listening to my podcast, too.
Oh, no problem.
I appreciate that.
All right.
All right, see you, Sam.
Okay, see ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
866-666-7926. The Big M Power Drawing voice note M Power will be next in 2 weeks on the 28th, and we'll be on tape again next week. But, you know, I'll be back after that. Hey there, this is Marlena. Who's this?
Hey, Marlena, it's Ray Campbell calling from Chicago.
Hey, one of my other favorite. My gosh, what is this, Illinois night?
This is Illinois invasion is what it is.
How are you?
No,
we just need four more of you to call them out. Then I'll say I've had the Chicago 7.
Yeah, just wanted to share a few thoughts tonight with you. This is really very nostalgic. I think the first brush I had with technology was probably in, 1981 or 82, the old Kurzweil reading machine, that great big thing that came in three pieces.
Oh, yes, yes,
and
yes.
I think there might even be some of them still around. I don't know. But you could read things on it, and it was, you had to put the little cartridge in there, and it was the first brush I had with technology. But I want to tell you a story. I went to vocational technical school up in Wausau, Wisconsin, and when I was there in the middle 80s, we had somebody from a couple of guys from Stevens Point, which is down the road from Wausau, about 40 miles. They had developed a talking word processor, and I heard somebody talking about the old Votrax earlier. And, oh, man.
Oh, yes.
The old Votrax. I remember when we got those at the tech school I was at, and the things, if it said error 1, you were okay.
Yeah.
If it said error 7, your system crashed.
You were in deep doo-doo.
You were in deep doo-doo. You're absolutely right. And I remember the thing would short out on me. And a couple times, people that I went to school with, they'd come in the room and see me beating on the Votrax. Say, what are you doing? I'd say it shorted out. It's the only way I can make it work. These guys in Stevens Point, they had developed this talking word processor program, and I forget what the thing was even called. It was from a small fledgling company at the time called Sound Software, and they wanted us guys at the – we had quite an extensive program for visually impaired students at the North Central Technical College where I went to school, and they wanted us to look to try out this piece of software. And this is when we had the old IBM PCs, you know, when you had to put the floppy disks in.
Anything. Yeah.
Well – one time, I was working with the talking word processor disk, and somebody, one of my friends came in. He had to do something real quick, and so I put the word processor disk down, jumped away from the computer to let him in, and he grabbed that word processor disk, and he formatted it.
Oh, no. Oh, gosh, no.
There went the talking word processor. But then we got Freedom 1. I don't know if anybody remembers Freedom 1, one of the first talking synthesizer screen reader programs that I ever saw. I used it on a Sanyo PC, and it was this crazy thing that when you push the tilde, it would say hello. And then you'd have to use, you basically had to do everything in a review mode. And then when you got to what you wanted to fix, you had to hit a key and it would route your cursor and all this stuff. And it was very inaccurate. And again, use the old Votrax, so you had to have the external synthesizer. But, and then one of the happiest days of my life was when I saw Vert Plus, and I saw that it had a board that went in the back of the computer.
Yes.
Goodbye, Votrax.
Yes, yes, goodbye,
That's
Votrax.
That's what I started working on, as a matter of fact, was Vert Plus, that when I went to work for AT&T in 86, and it was really, it was a big step up, I thought. But, you know, it's just amazing, Marlena, to look back over, in my case, maybe 20, 25 years, and just see how far things have come. I mean, as Sam and some of the other folks have had, and I think it's a terrific tribute to Russell Smith, who, you know, I think one thing that's a terrific tribute to him is that a lot of the terrific tribute to him is a lot of us did not know who he was because he didn't have to be the center of attention.
That's right. That's
and,
absolutely right.
You know, he let people like you when you worked for them and for Pulse Data and Jonathan and folks like that who kind of be the ones that really were out there interacting with the consumers. But, you know, I mean, Jim Halliday, people like that. I love my Braille Note. I mean, like everybody else has said, I just even going back before Braille Note to the Keynote Companion and the Braille Companion and some of the things that were out there. Man, it was just I don't know. I'm echoing. I'm preaching to the choir and echoing what people have said. I don't know what I'd do without my Braille Note. It's just my word processor when especially when I'm on the train and my email and just. It's just we've come just so far with technology. I remember the first Windows screen reader I used, ASAW.
Oh, which, my gosh, yes.
Which ASAW was a good product for MicroTalk for its time, but it kept screwing up my computer, and there would be this shrill, ugly sound that would come out of my computer, and the only way I could fix it was rebooting this thing. So
yeah.
It's just amazing to think about how far we've come in technology and just to this is a great way to remember people like Russell who made a lot of it possible and who helped all of us.
Well, I appreciate that, Ray, because, you know, I really care deeply for Russell. I mean, just as a friend and as a colleague, as a person certainly way far above me in the company. But I wanted to do something that would give people here a chance to just kind of remember the technology and remember Russell. And, you know, you said that that Russell never sort of grabbed the center stage, and you're right. And one thing I think a lot of people may not know, because there is no reason why you would know, certainly it was true when I worked for Humanware, and I suspect that it is still true today. There was never, ever, ever in the time that I was there, any release done without the approval of the blind staff. And Russell,
wow.
would say, let the blind people put their hands on it, then tell me about it. You know?
Absolutely.
I mean, he would always say that. And we'd sit down, you know, there was Larry and me and Jerry Koons and you know, different people here and there. And,
mm-hmm.
and we would sit down and we'd bat it out amongst ourselves. And then we'd come up with something that worldwide, all the Pulse Data, now Humanware blind staff, could agree on as, yep, this is good. And then that's what Russell wanted to hear.
Yeah, it's just so great to know, because, you know, as we go forward every day, and really I think the best way to remember a person like Russell is to use the technology on a daily basis.
Yep.
And know that this was approved by blind people for blind people. It's kind of the ultimate in consumer control, I guess, if
yep.
you will.
Yep.
So it's really a good thing. Well, it's good to hear you back on the air. Good to hear your voice. And,
well, thank you, and give my love to Miss Karen.
We will, and I know she was supposed to make the next call, but you know, I wanted to share some technology memories tonight. So I promise the next show that we tune into, I will let her call next time. And I hope you didn't lose too much in Vegas.
No, actually, I won.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
We have to do too.
Yeah, I actually won, although the cigarette smoke really did me in with my asthma.
I bet it did.
I ended up being one of those people getting pushed around in the wheelchair.
Yeah. I heard that there's a lot of people that had not necessarily problems with smoke, but the dry air out there.
Yeah, No, I was okay with the air, but the smoke, oh, man, that just about did me. And,
Well,
of course, I didn't bring any oxygen with me because who would think, you know. So there you go.
Okay, well, listen, a great show as always, and this is a great way for us all to remember. And when my finances allow, I am going to become empowered.
Oh, good. You'll love it.
With GPS. I haven't gotten on the GPS bandwagon yet, but I am going to do that.
You'll love it. All right.
Thanks,
Take care,
Marlena.
Ray. Okay.
Good night.
Bye-bye. 866-666-7926. And we're going to bring this person in. Hi there. You're with Marlena. Who's this?
How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you today?
Not too bad. This is Timothy calling.
Hello, Timothy. Can you speak up a little?
I'm actually on the cordless, my friend.
Oh, there you go. Okay, well, I can hear you a little better now, all the way from Nova Scotia.
Yes, that's correct.
Oh, how's life in Nova Scotia?
Not too bad. Okay, a couple of technology notes here. Let's see. The first time I worked on an accessible computer was back in the 1980s with an old Apple IIe.
Apple IIe. You were an Apple IIe guy, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then we had an old IBM clone at APSE.
Uh-huh.
APSE stands for Atlantic Provinces Special Education Authority.
Uh-huh.
We had the old Arctic Speech.
Oh, I had Arctic Speech. Arctic Speech did pretty well, I thought.
Yeah. And then the first time I used Windows was back in 1998, I believe.
Uh-huh.
I tried out JAWS 3.2, I think it was.
Uh-huh. So you started out with it. Now, tell me about the Apple IIe. Did you like it?
Bulky.
Yeah?
Bulky for one, and it was also finicky.
How was it finicky?
One time, or sometimes it doesn't work properly. Other times, if you entered an incorrect file name, or if you entered a correct file name, sometimes it doesn't work properly. It just says syntax error or whatever, you know, that kind of thing.
So, you know, a lot of times I think, Timothy, some of the younger folks who are listening, you know, that probably, you know, were just being born around the time you and I started playing with computers.
I'm practically 31 in October. I'll be 31 in October.
Yeah. So I think a lot of young people listening, you know, sort of the 17, 18, 19-year-old folks and younger would probably say, well, what do you mean it was hard? What do you mean it was finicky?
Well, the technology back then wasn't as good as it is today, right?
Yeah, it was
good in the day.
Oh, in the day? We thought it was wonderful, didn't we?
Yeah, exactly. In the day, it was wonderful. But now technology has changed so much in the last 20 years.
Yes, indeed it has.
But I also would like to express my condolences to the family. He appears to be very good. He was very good.
Yes, he was. He was a wonderful person.
Contest. It's pretty good. I entered 4 questions. I don't know if I have any of them right or not.
Well, and you know, without Russell Smith approving that whole thing, we wouldn't even have an Empower contest.
No.
Definitely not.
Like Rachel said. He wouldn't have been. It wouldn't have been possible if it weren't for him.
That's right. Well, good luck on the drawing, and make sure you listen on the 28th.
Yeah, I will.
All right.
Have a good night.
All right. Thank you, Timothy.
Bye now.
Bye bye. 866 866-766-7926. It's about 26 minutes past the hour. And, oh, it's been wonderful. So many of you have been calling in. I must admit I was a wee bit concerned because I thought, well, golly, I've been away for several weeks and, you know, maybe people won't know that the program is on, but you do. Hi there. This is Marlena. Who's this?
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe that
oh
I got in.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe you did either.
This is Anne McKay.
How are you, Miss Anne McKay?
Well, I'm fine.
Good. What's going on with you all the way in Seattle?
Oh, well, it's a lovely day.
It is. Isn't it gorgeous?
Yeah. Great. But I was just thinking about the Sonic Guide.
Yes.
I saw that. Oh, I went to Opticon training at Telesensory, and they had one. So
oh.
Very interesting. And then somebody called, I think Hap, talking about VersaBrailles. I worked on a cassette VersaBraille at Social Security.
Oh, my gosh.
And really, I knew a lot more how to use that than I did the VersaBraille that came after. I had one of those at Services for the Blind. That was my Braille display when I got there, and I like to use the joystick with it.
Yeah.
But I didn't really use it for anything except to read, you know, as the Braille display on the PC. But, you know, all the work that, and I don't even really honestly know if I can place Russell, and I certainly know I saw him, you know, at various things.
Well, and that's just the kind of guy he was.
Right.
You
I
know?
Mean, I went to the initial, oh, you know, those things where they showed everybody the Braille note at the ACB convention
yep.
in Louisville.
Yep.
And I'm sure he was at that,
yep.
you know. But, you know, I don't know, really. And I went to one of the Braille note meetings at CSUN, and I'm sure he was at that. And I just can't place him.
Well, I'll tell you something interesting. During this week, I contacted several HumanWare people and asked them if they had any place, anywhere that I could get a recording
yeah.
of Russell. And do you know that no one had any?
Well, yeah, because at functions like that, I mean, and I'm not being critical of any other companies when I say this, but I mean, there's, I'm sure, lots of recordings of lots of people
sure.
who are head of their company
sure.
and who have made their products.
Yeah.
And you would think that that would be natural, you know, but I don't know who he, I mean, obviously I knew him, you know, had seen him as many things as I've been to and, you know, places I've been, but I cannot place him.
Well, I could tell you that in one of the years during which I was working for HumanWare and I had to do a CSUN presentation and Russell came, and I said, well, Russell, why don't you come up with me? And he said, nah, go on. You do it. You use the damn thing. I don't. You do it. You go up and do it. I'm like, but Russell, you, this is your company. Nah, they don't want to hear from me. They want to hear from you how it all works. You, and that, I mean, that was his whole, you know, he really put, especially his blind staff. He really put us into the limelight because he would say, you're the user. I'm not.
Well,
I don't use it.
And that is right. And I really appreciate that, knowing, you know, what I know about the various products in the industry. And I just, the stability of his products, the each release builds on the, you know, what features that the last one didn't have. I mean, I remember the old Keynotes, if circumstances were right, the batteries would die and you'd lose all your data. And that was the biggest thing,
yeah.
the biggest complaint I had about them. And that got fixed. I mean, the Braille Note has never had that issue.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's, which I think is a very important thing.
Yeah. Yep. Well, he will be missed. It was a shock for me last Monday morning to pick up my phone and hear that he and Marianne had died. And I just, you know how close to the airport I live. And
well, yeah.
Every time I hear a small plane go overhead, I still just get,
uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But, yeah. You know, like I said earlier to Rachel, he died doing what he loved.
Well, and I think that's important. And you see so many people who go through, you know, all this stuff before, on the way to dying,
yeah.
You know.
Yep,
as
yep.
opposed to living life and... Yep. And just one minute they're living it, and the next minute they're gone.
Yep.
That is probably one of the hardest ways for us to deal with how people go, but it's probably one of the better ways to do it.
Yeah, I hope that's the way I go, man.
Yeah.
You know, just yeah. go. Just, okay, it's through today. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the program's over today now, and so it's time to go now. And, you know, it's... And Russell deserved nothing less.
Yeah.
You know, he was a great guy. He could be really stubborn, but he was a person with passion. And he was great to work with and great to, you know, and we'd banter things back and forth. And in this meeting that I just had with him 3 weeks ago, Gary was there as well.
Uh-huh.
And after we left the meeting, Gary said, "Boy, I don't know how much of your suggestion Russell will implement, if he implements anything at all, but he looked straight into your eyes, and when you were talking, he was hearing every word." And I would hear Russell, you know, I'd say something, blah, 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 and all of a sudden I'd hear scribble, 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 scribble. And he was writing things down, but I was so... You know, and this was before Russell died, and that Gary said this, obviously, and I was so happy to hear Gary say that he looked into my eyes. You know,
yeah.
he had eye contact with
yeah.
me, and that's just how he was with blind people. You know, it's like, well, you know more than I do. I'm not blind, so tell me what you know.
That, you know, and I think it's sort of amazing to me when I think about somebody who spent that much of their life working on products for blind people when they weren't blind.
Yeah. And, I mean, he could have made bazillions of more dollars, you know, doing something in the mainstream.
Well, yeah.
Because, I mean, our market is not, you know.
Well, it's not large at all.
It's not large at all comparatively.
And for years, I mean, you know, somebody mentioned Vert. I mean, there's Arctic. There were lots of synthesizers and screen readers out there that were a lot bigger than, you know, Master Touch,
yep.
at least over here.
Yep, yep.
And,
yep.
you know, obviously he kept at it.
Yep. Well,
which is very cool.
Yep. Well, he's floating around up there now, let me tell you. And he's saying, "Get on with it."
Yep. Well, it's been a very good show. I didn't get to hear the first of it. I tuned in right when you were talking to Rachel, but I thought I'd give you a call and mention the Sonic Guide and the cassette VersaBraille.
Oh, I think the cassette VersaBraille is, I'm not sure that I've seen one of those.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I spilled Cherry 7-Up in one. It was ghastly. I was working at Social Security, and, you know, that was what I took the notes in from my phone calls, and I did my, it was hooked up to a printer, and I would do my changes of address and all kinds of things on that. And we'd send them over to the person who would teletype them. That was before we had computers on our desk. And I poured some Cherry 7-Up into my cup, and I picked it up, and I filled it too full, and it just kind of spilled into the thing. And
well, there
and,
you go.
The little cassette door wouldn't open, and my supervisor was great. He was like, "Oh, we'll just send it back to him and tell him it doesn't work anymore."
Which wouldn't be a lie.
That's right.
Oh, gosh. Well, it's always fun to go back and remember the old stuff, and I like to do this periodically anyway, but I thought it would be a great way to remember Russell, to kind of go back into technology.
Right, right. It's great.
All right. Well,
all right.
You
well,
take
well.
Care, my dear.
Talk to you later.
All righty. Have a wonderful night, and thank you for calling.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. 866 666-7926, going way back in the way back machine of technology is what we're doing tonight, and talking about, sorry, clearing my throat here, and Gary the board guy is still entertaining our company, and so I can't say, I need water. Anyway, talking about technology and the first technology you used and the first. A lot of people have been talking about computers tonight, and I'm interested in hearing any other kinds of technology. Let's see who's here. Hi there, this is Marlena. Who's
I
this?
Made it.
You made it. Oh, my gosh, you made it.
Yeah, this is Stan.
Oh, my gosh, of course it is. Who else would it be?
Well, you know, I had to call with you talking about the memory lane thing. And
oh, go way back in the way back machine.
And, you know, that really hit. I mean, I followed the whole Russell Smith thing and followed the, what he's done with the now HumanWare and the merger with Visuaid and
yes.
all the kind of things in between.
Yes.
And I really want to add to the condolences to all the team at HumanWare and our good friends over there. And it's really something, you know, to go through this. Of course, I have to go back in time and talk about one of the first things I used was the Braille note. Braille InSpeak.
Oh, didn't we all?
And, of course, using a computer with the double talk synthesizer, and after that, then, you know, now good at having the Braille note, and yes, I will be getting a transplant.
Are you on the list for a transplant?
Oh, yes,
Stan?
I'm on the list. And I am looking forward to everything that entails, because I know that that's going to be something that we're going to enjoy and use daily, because I know I certainly use my Braille note now daily, and of course with all the other things that it will add to it will make it even more usable.
Yeah, it's a very cool device.
And I'm looking forward to that. And, you know, thinking about the technology and how it has come forth, I mean, I often talk, in fact, a while back was visiting with some friends that I went to school with, some sighted friends, and I said, you know, when I think about the technology we have access to now versus the technology we had when I was in school, which is, you know, in high school in the 70s, late 60s and 70s, you know, you're talking a world of difference. Of course, being the way things were in those times, maybe not having the technology may have kept us out of trouble. I don't know.
No, I think having it would have kept me out of trouble.
Yeah, you know, I mean, but that is something to think about. I mean, how far we've come.
Oh, Stan, when I think about when I was in college, I thought I was being so cool because I was taking notes with a slate and stylus, writing in Braille, writing in print magazines.
Oh, jeez.
And I had a magazine for each week, for each class. I would just get people to give me their old print magazines.
Sure.
And so I would write on the cover, you know, which class and the date, you know, the week or whatever. And I would use that magazine for that class in that week. And then I just thought I was like so cool because I could then go back and quickly reference week by week what class by class I had done. And I'd stop and I think about that. Now I'm like, man, oh, man. And then you'd have to schedule readers all the time.
Oh, that was always a pain in the neck. Because
golly, that was nuts.
You never, I mean, and getting, in my case, you had trouble finding reliable ones.
Yeah. Well, and then you had trouble finding readers who could come and read to you on the time that you had available.
Not only, in my case, sometimes you not only have that problem, but you had problem with some people being, well, there's no other word I can say, but flakes.
Yeah, I know. I know.
And so now that we are, oh, gosh, now I'm just, it's hard for me to say empower without, now that we're empowered, you know, with all the technology that we have access to, it's really a wonderful feeling.
Yep, it really is.
I mean, look at the way we can do the computers, you know, online, look at the newspapers, and look at that everyone else can do it.
And look at all the money we can spend on eBay.
Oh, you
Woo-hoo!
See that? Thank you. You're going to see that's the problem. If I didn't think about that, there's a limit to what you can do, though. But oh God, thank you for ruining my entire day. Because I probably have to get the business going to pay for this. But thank you, Marlene.
That's quite all right, Stan.
But you know, but you think about things like that and how the prices have, in a lot of ways, come down, though. Not as much as certainly we would like to see, but when you consider how much, you know, the people have to put in terms of R&D and other things that have to be done. I mean, they have to make money also.
That's right. That's right. I mean, it costs a lot of money to develop this technology, and then it costs a lot of money to maintain this technology. And we're a very tiny, tiny piece of the market. I mean, if you make 10,000, let's say, Braille notes, mm-hmm. let's just use Braille notes as an example. Well, the people who make the case and the people who make the keys and the, you know, and I mean the housing for the Braille notes.
Right.
You know, they're going to charge a whole lot more for 10,000 than they would for 500,000.
Sure.
You know, and that's something that, you know, often we consumers forget. Now, not to say that I don't think the technology is expensive, because it is expensive, but it isn't, I mean, you know, people aren't out there making, and I know this for a fact because I now sell it directly, and we're not out there making a gazoodle of money.
But that's the impression a lot of people have.
Yeah, yep.
And, you know, when you consider, as I said, you know, not only the people making the little bit of money that they do make, but you also have the competitiveness.
That's right.
Of this market. I mean, this has to be one of the more competitive kinds of, you know, dog-eat-dog environments that people can have.
Sure, because it's a very small market and everyone is after the same, you know, the same
and
piece of pie.
Thank goodness that we don't, you know, that hopefully, and I don't think it will, but, you know, the things that happened with, like, telesensory won't happen with, you know, any other technology company.
Yeah, let's hope not.
But at any rate, I wanted to touch bases for a few minutes and talk to you now that you've ruined my day.
I'll go look up something on eBay and stuff.
Yeah. Anyway, have a great evening.
Thank you, Stan, and I'll talk to you soon.
Yes, you will.
Thanks
Bye.
So much for calling.
Sure.
Bye-bye. 866-666-7926, and we're going to catch this call. Hi there. This is Marlena. Who's this?
Kizzy.
Hi, Kizzy. How are you?
I am fine. How are you?
I'm fine. It's great to hear from you.
Great to hear from you. I'm glad I finally got on.
Let's see. Now, you're in Ohio. Yes, yes. Cincinnati, right?
No, I'm in Mansfield.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. Well, at least I got you in the right state.
Yeah, you did.
So
you're selling Humanware products now?
Well, yes, but only in limited areas.
Oh,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
So I've used the Braille and Speak and the Braille Light and a Braille Writer.
Oh, great. All right. And do you like them?
They were okay.
Yeah?
Yeah, but I'm thinking about getting a Braille Note.
Ah, good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Good for you. Well, I think you'll enjoy it. It's
cool. I've looked at them before. I saw other people's. They look fun because you got all the different features.
Yeah, that's
uh-huh.
right.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, did you enter the M-Power contest on ACB?
No.
No. Oh, too bad. Too bad.
No.
Well, that's all right.
Well, I'm sorry to hear about that guy who passed.
Yeah, Russell Smith.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. He was a great guy.
So he made he helped he made the technology.
Well, he owned the company.
Oh, okay.
Yep. He was a great guy.
Oh, okay.
So
it was nice talking to you.
Well, it was nice talking to you too, and you call me again now.
Okay, I will.
All right, take
Bye.
Care. Bye-bye. 866-666-7926. And I'm a little breathless at the number of folks who've called in tonight. This is great. And I will be off the air next week. It will be a replay, and because I've got to come back from a business trip. And then the following week, August 28th, drum roll, please. Did you hear that drum roll? Oh, come on, surely you did. Anyway, we're going to do the voice note Empower drawing, and we'll see who wins that. Hi there, this is Marlena. Who's this?
Oh, hi, this is Pam Quinn. I'm calling from Iowa.
Hi, Pam, how are you?
Good. I can't believe I got in. It didn't even ring, so I was thinking I was going to get a busy signal again.
No, there you got it.
Well, anyway, I've never called in before.
Well, welcome.
Yeah, and it's good to have you back. Welcome back.
Thank you.
I must say I made a major leap in technology since the last time I heard you on the air. I now have, I've gone from dial-up to wireless internet, high-speed network. Oh, I'm loving that, I'll tell you.
Great.
And when I think back about all this technology, I mean, the most exciting thing to me, of course, is the access that we have now to books, the immediate access, the immediate gratification we all have a need for now because everything's just right there at our fingertips.
Yes,
it's just
indeed.
Unbelievable.
Yes.
And we, of course, have talked a lot about that. But my first memory of making a major, what I felt back then was a major leap in technology, was back before I even started kindergarten when I got my first talking book machine.
Oh, my gosh. Now, tell me, what did your first talking book machine look like?
It was one of those huge machines with a real heavy arm, you know, and it had the little, it had the big speaker in the lid.
Oh,
you know?
I had the one just before that as my first one.
Really?
My first one was one that it kind of opened up and the top folded over itself in half. And the speaker lived somewhere down inside the machine. And then when I got the one that you're talking about, oh, my gosh, I thought I'd died and gone to heaven. It sounded so much better.
This wasn't the one with the handle on the front. You know, this was
this
was back in probably about 1961 I got my first one.
Yeah, see, and I got my first one in about 1956.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm an old lady.
Yeah, that definitely wasn't the same one then.
Yep.
But I remember waiting all day long for the telephone pioneers to bring that thing, and I just could not wait. And I had all these talking books, you know, ready to listen to when I got it. And, I mean, I tell you, I felt like I was waiting for Santa Claus to come.
Yep, and I used to love it when the postman came.
Oh, yeah.
Because he would bring me books, and he would bring me letters, and Anne McKay was one of my pen pals when I was a little girl.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I remember, too, you'll definitely remember this, one of the announcements you'd hear on all the old talking books was, it's very important that these records be kept free from grit and be kept in order.
Yes,
you know?
Free from grit and kept in order.
Yeah. So that was really cool. And then, of course, just in the time that I started teaching, I taught for 10 years, and before that, when I was in college, you know, the Braille and Speak wasn't out yet or anything, and of course, the predecessor to the Braille and Speak was the Pocket Braille.
Oh, yes, I still have one.
Do you?
Yes.
It was a nice-looking machine. It really was.
Yes.
And I remember I was so excited about that, but then I would be writing along, and the keys were really neat, too. They were just virtually silent compared to even the Braille and Speak. But you'd be writing along, at least the one I had, you'd write along, and all of a sudden you'd hear this, and you'd look, and your data would either be all gone, or there'd be like a big bridge of garbage characters from the beginning to the end. But you know, thanks to that, the Braille and Speak was easy to learn to use. And like I say, when I think back on it now, who would have thought that from those first talking book machines, we would have immediate access to print material like we do, and now, you know, in the probably not too far off future, we'll all get our books on computer chips,
It's just amazing.
Yeah. And I wanted to offer my condolences, too, for Russell Smith. What a contribution he did make. And we'll continue to make because I'm sure many more exciting things will come from the Empower, although it's hard to imagine at the moment what more can there be, but I'm sure there will be. And I hope my name is somewhere near the top in those in the drawing.
I hope so too. We'll find out in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Well, thank you so much for calling, and please do it again.
I sure will.
All right. Great.
We'll talk to you soon then.
All right. Thanks, Pam.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, it has been a show, and I want to let you know that I, first of all, deeply appreciate so many of you calling in. I was concerned that since I've been gone for like 6 weeks that, the first show would be sluggish and 2 hours of me is enough for anybody, more than enough probably. But you've all made it such a wonderful experience to come back. We will be on tape next week, but the following week we'll be back with the Empower drawing. And I'd like to close with a couple of things. I do have a piece that I'd like to play, but I'd like to, before I do that, give my kind of condolences and my thoughts to my dear friends at HumanWare, about whom I care very deeply, and with many of whom I have close personal relationships. And Russell was a great guy, but Russell left us a legacy, and the key thing is to keep going and keep making fine products. I saw a sign recently that said, "Life is not measured by the breaths you take, but by the moments that take your breath away." And I think that Russell would feel that way as well. This is Jonathan Mosen's Remembrances of Russell. I'm Marlena, and I'll be back with you in 2 weeks.
I think when I look back on my memories of Russell, I think of Russell as a very softly spoken, kind man with quite a broad New Zealand accent, very humble, and yet extremely methodical in his thinking, somebody who could analyze a problem, get right to its roots, and really absorb information in this incredibly quick and thorough way.
You never lose your sense of wonder. You get your fill to eat, but always keep that hunger. May you never take one single breath for granted. God forbid love ever leave you empty-handed. I hope you still feel small when you stand beside the ocean.
There are many trade shows where we have to go and exhibit as a company, and Russell came to many of them. Not just to meet with the other CEOs and the leadership of the industry, but also to just go on the exhibit floor and spend time with customers. And that's very rare that you get somebody at CEO level actually going down onto the shop floor, as it were, and doing the work of a salesperson. I've had a lot of emails from people over the last few days after Russell's death was made public. One of the stories that really moved me was somebody who went to one of the trade shows. He said that they'd heard about one of our products and were very keen to explore it, and heard that there was a good deal going, and this nice man showed them the product and was quite proficient in its use, and it was a Braille product, and in the end made the sale. At the end of the process, the guy was so impressed with this salesperson who had showed him this product, he asked for the person's name, thinking that maybe he could pass on some positive comments. And the person who did the selling said that his name was Russell Smith. He didn't say, "I'm the CEO," and he really did. He really used his position to kind of get any special attention. He's a very quiet and humble sort of guy.
ocean. Whenever one door closes, I hope one more opens.
When human web became so large, Russell was out there feeling the pulse, finding out what people thought of the products and asking them. And I think sometimes he found that not saying who he was, not making a big deal of the fact that he was the chief executive, meant that he got better feedback from people because they felt less reticent about coming forward. At a more personal level, I have lots of memories of Russell because we've traveled on long plane flights together, and we talked about all kinds of things, from families all the way through to how he'd gone into Fry's, which he loved to come to when he was in the States. And Russell would sort of quietly disappear and head off to Fry's for about a couple of hours and come back late with all sorts of bizarre components or maybe a new PDA and stuff like that. He loved his technology. He just relished it, enjoyed its use. And I remember just how much fun those trips were, and how he was absolutely comfortable, of course, with guiding a blind person. And one day we were going through security in Los Angeles Airport, and they just instigated this new system where everybody has to be fingerprinted when you come into the United States now. You have to give a left-hand fingerprint and a right-hand fingerprint. And we sat there, sort of, I could tell just by the kind of tone of his voice that he probably had this incredulous look on his face, and I was kind of a bit perplexed, but we did this thing. And after we'd gone through security in his very typical Kiwi kind of New Zealand way, he said, "There you are, you're legit, mate." And that was Russell, very down-to-earth and very quiet. So we will miss him. We will miss him dreadfully. He was an icon of this industry. And I can only say that as somebody who used the product for so long and got to know him as a colleague over the last 2 years, his loss is a tremendous one to all of us around the world who remember him and used the technology that he helped bring into being.
This program has been dedicated to the memory of our friend Russell Smith. Fly happily, Russell. Been listening to Marlena on ACB Radio. We'll be back next week, same time, same place. But in the meantime, if you've got an idea for a future show, why not drop me an email? The email address is Marlena